All right, Cole. What are we doing this time?
Well, Gary, welcome back to my abandoned arcade.
Oh.
Yeah. It was Aladdin's Castle. Now it's Aladdin's Mausoleum. Now it's Cole's Castle.
Yeah. Cole, and then it will soon be Cole's Mausoleum.
Yep. No, no. This is a contingency plan.
At the end of the episode. So.
At the end of episode 319, somebody will die.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. But I wanted to bring you over to one of my favorite ticket winning games, which is the Token Pusher.
Oh, those things.
Yeah. I don't know what like economic principle this is operating on. It might just be a jackpot. In fact, let's just say it's a jackpot.
Yeah, it's a gambling. It's just gambling.
But everybody is contributing a little bit, and then over time, one person gets everything. I don't know. There's something about that. And some of my biggest wins outside of that car down payment you got on Deal or No Deal that one time, have been at the Token Pusher. So what I've done is I have taken a bunch of different game names and put them on tokens, and we're gonna see what comes out.
Yeah, you know that since you own the arcade, you can just open this and eat them, or like take them, or do whatever the fuck you do with tokens, right? Like now that you own the arcade.
Yep. No, I am a dragon. I use them to make my bed. It is my hoard.
Yeah, because you can open them up and press a little button and play the game.
Right.
Because you own the arcade, man.
But I don't know. There's something about it doesn't, you know, what is it? The Twilight Zone where the gambler dies and he wakes up in a casino and he's like, it's a casino and I'm winning. This must be heaven. And that turns out he always wins and now it's hell. As a Fire Emblem fan and an inveterate gambler like myself, I cannot tilt everything in my favor.
Just the idea of just gambling for your own winnings is like really sad. Like putting $50 in a slot machine and then hoping to win it over the course of years is like really sad to me.
Well, you know, I didn't I didn't ask for this condition. It's funny, not sad. You know, here we are. And I'm using this to finance other machines I'm going to put in the arcade.
Oh, okay.
Into Cole's Castle.
Yeah. You know, and you didn't know that Uncle Aladdin was going to die.
Right.
So,
yeah.
And bequeath you this.
I will give you the honor. I've made a token with your face on it. You're going to drop it in there. I've got to tell you, eventually though, it means somebody is going to win you.
You're
going to
play me. Yeah. What happens if that one comes through? I don't like it.
No. But I'm just
I don't want to be a game.
Yeah.
You know.
gonna get digitized.
Yeah.
It's the Power Worlds book of Gary's life.
Yeah, unfortunate.
Oh.
Let me drop this and I'm going to do optimal strategy.
Okay. Describe your optimal strategy for me.
I like looking at the set of tokens and seeing the area where they are thickest.
Yes.
You know, and then I try to aim for that.
Do you account for overlap at all? Because sometimes when they're the thickest, they've got a bunch of coins edged up on each other. And all you do is worse than the overlap. It compresses.
I do. I try to make it where the cross section of it being the thickest and then also the ones closest to where the coin drops, not overlapping. It definitely has to be pushing a coin below it.
Yes.
And then I also drop the coin when it's close. So it will land and have time to flatten. You know, by the time it lands, the shelf is pushed out.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So that way you don't tip any tokens over. No. Good. This is good. It is nice to meet another gamesman, another appreciator of the craft.
Sure. Yeah. I like these things. You know that they made some of these for iOS.
What?
Which to me is almost as sad as buying a machine and just playing for your own tokens. And the reason why it's almost as sad is because it's cheaper. They have them for iOS. I remember Lazy Game Reviews did a review of one. I was like, "What? What is this? Jesus. Why are you reviewing it? Why does it exist?"
Yeah,
this is extremely weird.
Did you pay real money? Were like in-app transactions or whatever?
I don't think so, but that would be amazing.
Yeah,
like just to get better virtual, you know, guitar clocks and NES action sets.
Yeah,
you know,
mustache combs. Yeah.
Okay, let me drop here.
Okay.
I think I've got my spot picked out.
And... Ka-ching, baby. You got one.
Oh, look at that. One fell off. Well, that's good, because if we, a bunch of games came out, I don't know what we'd do.
No. Yeah, so this is actually advantageous for us, and more for me later. That's right. This is my private token pusher. All those tokens, those are ones that I put in there. Oh, it's, no. it's all for me.
Yeah, it's just the Silent Hill franchise. And all right. Well, let's see what we got here.
All right.
Oh, it's a token, and it says Spaceship Warlock.
Huh. Starship, Spaceship, Warlock.
Starship, Spaceship.
Oh, yeah.
Starship, Spaceship.
Everybody aboard the Starship, Spaceship. Pew, 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 pew.
On the Starship Water Boat. Gary Butterfield.
I'm Cole Ross.
And this is Abject Suffering, where we play games
for you.
For us and you.
Yeah, we had a good one, but I forgot it.
I forgot too. I had a good came up with a good sign off, a good general sign off last night on recording everything to Guppy, and I forgot it as well.
Yeah. So. It's what happens.
It does happen from time to time. Our brains are basically a big sack of rotting meat. Yes. That we carry around in us, in our brain purse, aka the human skull,
the meninges. Yeah, and this is this week we are talking about Spaceship Warlock, which is a game that was demanded by our patron Smoke Type Thing. Thank you, Smoke Type Thing.
Isn't it Smoky Type Thing?
Smoky Type. No, it's Smoke Type Thing is what they put in here.
The Smoky the Bear is their icon. Yes. Twitter, so that's why I thought it was Smoky.
Yeah, no, there are a lot of them, and it's especially there are a lot of our community members who are like that. And I feel like a grandpa, because when they pop in on my Twitch streams, I will say just like the version of their name that I have in my head, and then at one point I will just read and realize, oh, that's not your name.
Yeah, well, the nice thing is none of them are their names.
Well, that's true.
You know, it doesn't feel like a certain point, like, and I definitely feel this as I'm kind of pushing 40, but I don't know if you might feel the same in your mid 30s. That's a little silly that we just regularly go around referring to people by the handles. Doesn't it feel like when you're close to 40, you might stop doing that? And I'm not blaming anybody for having a handle. You know,
no,
I get it.
No, no.
You know, but it's just kind of weird that like I do refer to these people as like their hacker names. But it's like, your name is Tim or something like that. Like, I mean, come on, man.
Yeah, I mean, like it is goofy, and it contributes, I think, generally to, you know, that common joke, oh, we live in the shittiest cyberpunk future. Just not the worst, but just like the lamest of them.
Yeah.
And so yeah, like I'm fine doing it, because especially if they express, you know, if they're like, hey, sure. but it's like, yeah, it is a little bit goofy. And I don't know if that's just because I long ago eschewed using any kind of screen name. Right.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably part of it for me. Yeah, like, and I don't call anybody what they want to be called. Right. Like, it's not up to me. I just think it's just funny to set. Like, it's something I think we take for granted.
Yes.
That a lot of people are running around with hacker names. Mm-hmm. That they use in real life. And I've definitely had situations where I've met people in real life and they've introduced themselves as kind of a hacker name, you know, to me. And I, in real life, if it's like a handle, I have a hard time like doing it, you know, and it's not like, it's not like my hard time is that important, you know, or that I'm like, I will just be like, yo, okay. Hey,
yeah,
you know, but like, I don't think Riff's real name is Riff.
It's not.
So I still call him Riff. Mm-hmm. You know, so that doesn't bother me.
Well, just he prefers it.
Like, yeah, but if he said his name was like Master Uploader or something like that, they call me Download. You know, or something like, they call me, you know, I am called Microchip. This is Data. You know, and this, then I would have a harder time with it.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I gotcha.
I am called Ham.
Because of the ham radio.
Yeah.
No, it's a little rough. If they're saying, like, if they're coming up to you and saying, like, hi, I'm, master uploader, just call me Jim when we're face to face. That's fine. Have you ever run into that when like you just like you only ever knew somebody by their nickname and you had trouble referring to them at, like outside of their like outside of certain social groups because they either do not know the nickname or they only know that person as their nickname?
Generally, my instinct is to round down to a non hacker name.
Yes.
As quick as I can. So once I know that, it supersedes.
Yes.
The hacker name for me.
I ran into this when the scoundrel Brian Wade. This is two episodes in a row that is getting publicity. When the scoundrel Brian Wade came out to Cincinnati to visit, he brought some friends with him, and you know, I just kept on referring to him as Brian, and eventually his friends were like, "That's so weird." I'm like, "What's weird?" Like, "Oh, we only ever call him B Wade." It's like, "Oh, yeah. Okay." And when I was in high school, it was to the point where we only ever referred to each other by last names. Sure. And it was, a time when we had still used landlines. So I would call my friend who's, we just called him Chalk, and because his last name was Chalk, and the dad would pick up and I'd say, "Hey, is Chalk there?" And he would say, "Which one?" And I would have to grope for what his actual first name was.
Yeah. I could see the last names. Cause there's a big,
I mean, it's a dude thing. Yeah.
Thing. To be a guy who repeats a tweet.
Okay.
Thing. I'm trying to see if I can find it. The gist of it though was like, Barack Obama comes down the stairs. "Ah, hello, Michelle, my wife. How are you?" "Michelle, colon, hello, Obama." I don't know why that made me laugh so much. The idea of Michelle Obama being like, "Hello, Obama."
it's like that drill tweet. Like, yeah. It's like, "Hey, you got to get out of the bathroom. 9/11's happening." Yeah. Not that there's anything funny about 9/11, but just calling an event by its name while it's happening.
Well, it's happening, like that. You just know.
Yeah.
It's like the same joke as like introducing somebody as your first wife when you're married to them.
Oh, right.
It's like the same kind of thing. Like, here's my first wife.
It's almost like humor acquires built-in irony.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. This game is almost humorous. No, I think the idea is to be funny. I don't know. I had a hard time grokking this.
Yeah, I played this as much as I played it. I played it with a walkthrough, with a fact that is actually done by the studio, which is always weird to see when that happens. It is very strange reading the Wikipedia article for this, because they imply that this game was way more popular than it ever actually was in my own experience. Like, they talk about this in language like it's another Myst, saying
that is right.
Why is that?
Like, because it was released for Mac.
Yeah.
Like, this is like the early front runner of Myst, but for Mac.
Hmm.
Like, it's Myst Mac. Like, I know Myst eventually came to Mac.
No, Myst was on Mac originally.
Oh, well, this is, I mean, the reason why, so this did not make the crossover then, I mean.
Yeah.
Like, it did, like, the game came over, but it didn't culturally crossover.
Right.
So this has, like, Mac ecosystem stink to it. Like, this has Marathon stink to it.
Yeah. No, and specifically, it feels very Mac-y because it has, because it's like a HyperCard stack is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does talk about it like it's very important. I just assumed like Mac kids would understand this.
Yeah. And there are probably people who are like, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe," but all those people are like 10 years older than us. So
yeah.
So their opinion doesn't matter.
So we just alienate the hell out of them with that irony Twitter thing in the beginning.
Yeah, no, just
it sucks to be a person stuck between two cultures in such a horrendous way.
But what this is, it is a sci-fi first-person adventure game. The puzzles and interaction is all really basic, at least as far as I got. I only got as far as the pleasure space station or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Balthazar or whatever. But it's like, oh, the Terrans, the humans, they expanded galactically, but were overtaken by the Kroll Empire, which I picture as just being a bunch of Nick Krolls.
Sure. Goodbye.
And you play as just this random person who gets recruited by the space pirate crew of the spaceship Warlock in order to fight back against the Kroll Empire.
I was very disappointed to know that Warlock was the name of a spaceship, and yes, it wasn't a spaceship Warlock. Like, spaceship was not modifying a Warlock.
Okay, wait a minute. Or that Warlock was not modifying a spaceship.
Yeah. Like a spaceship that was a Warlock, mm-hmm, or a Warlock that was a spaceship.
A Warlock that could control the elemental forces of spaceships.
Yeah, which is very Spelljammer.
Yeah.
You know, but like, I would have preferred that to it just being a name.
Yeah.
You know, but it does. Yeah. So it's, I didn't get quite that far. I got it onto the ship,
mm-hmm,
and then I just had there's a moment, you know, we talk about the different ways to give up on Abject Suffering games. And this was one of them where, and this tends to happen with adventure games.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where I'm like, there might be something interesting here, but I'm not going to be able to see it all in the time I have allotted to prepare.
Mm-hmm.
So I just have to pull the ripcord. Like,
yeah. Well, that's why I just played it with a FAQ open. Cause yeah, I knew I'd be playing for about a half an hour, and with, you know, we had to run this in a browser. You know, with technical difficulties and things like that, that's about as far as I got.
Yeah.
You know, and like, the production values on this are really funny, especially, yeah, because you can tell that it's just kind of like one, maybe two people doing all the voices.
Yeah. Yeah. And there are a lot of them.
Yep.
You know, kind of surprisingly,
mm-hmm,
quite a few voices. There are a lot of, weird little details to it and weird little world building.
Yeah.
Notes.
Did you go into the Mantis strip club?
I did. It's reminds me of those games that were early multimedia things where like the mode of interface changes a lot.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of hard to describe exactly what type of, like, it's an adventure game,
mm-hmm,
but there is a little bit of not knowing what type of game it is, because like, sometimes it's an action game and sometimes, mm-hmm, you're using a text parser, and sometimes you're like, when you call a phone number, you actually interface with the keys,
mm-hmm,
and stuff. Like, it has a little bit of like the manhole style fidget with what's around.
Yeah. Yeah.
We
ran into that a little bit with Siberia. Remember that?
Yeah. 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 Very, very, very similar kind of thing. So the and it, you know, it's fine. Like, mm-hmm, I was expecting, it's funny because the Starship Warlock and then the tone of the beginning planet made me think that it was going to be much more comedy focused,
mm-hmm,
and then a long stretch without jokes.
Yeah,
like the level of kind of low level irreverence to this is pretty interesting. Or I know, not interesting.
What's the opposite? Tedious.
Yeah. Yeah. The word I'm looking for is a little bit boring. Like, I was expecting it to be a little funnier,
uh-huh,
or a little bit more serious. And like, when, mm-hmm, I was looking at commentary on the game, you know, people talked about it. The thing they said that it's like makes this really good, or the thing it has going for it, is this really propulsive pace.
Mm.
But nobody is like, hey, this is hilarious.
Right.
You know, or no, and no one was like, oh, this has really great puzzles. They're saying like, hey, it's about an hour and a half. There's lots of fun little diverticula to explore for characterization and fun.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, every 10 minutes or so, you're in a new set piece.
Yeah.
Like, you just move along at a really good clip.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not particularly funny or like interesting as far as the situations go. Like, usually you would, right, think you would take something like this and do some satire. It'd be a little bit broader. Like, I was expecting like a little bit like the future in Callahan's Cross Time Saloon or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, something a little, like some teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Do it, but it doesn't really have that.
No, like, you know, it's just kind of basic cyberpunk police state kind of stuff, at least on the first planet.
Yeah.
You know, like monitors with the authorities admonishing you on every street corner, etc. Yeah, and like, I feel like that pace is a little bit undercut by the fact that like, you are pretty much locked into very limited areas, but there's not a lot of direction on what to do. Like, so you have to walk around and explore and like make a note of a particular phone number off of an ad and kind of just intuit that like, oh yeah, I need to get off this planet, so I need to call the spaceport and buy a ticket, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Like, it is not much of a game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it feels like a lot of series of tasks. I was looking at later puzzles, and there's like a thing where you have to get past a fire, and the puzzle is like, you go grab a fire extinguisher.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a weird way, it reminds me like a little bit of Shattered Memories, just because I just played it.
Oh yeah.
You know, because,
yeah,
a lot of those things are not puzzles. It's just, here's a task with a novel interface.
Yes.
And at the time, this would have been a really novel interface.
Mm-hmm.
The creator of this,
I'm happy you're here.
Yeah. So this, I know this. I know this guy's comic.
Oh, okay.
The Peter or Mike Sains,
mm-hmm,
who did this comic called Shatter. I found a trade paperback of Shatter at one point and bought it and like flipped through it. I didn't read it because it was not very good. But it's a physical comic book that looks like Macintosh screens.
Yeah.
Like it looks like a low resolution Macintosh, like MacVenture style HyperCard.
Oh, that's cool.
Stack. Yeah, it's really unusual. Like, I don't necessarily think that it's good. Like, I love that style, you know, but I don't necessarily want it in like a physical comic. Like, it doesn't lend itself very well.
Yeah.
That, but I remember like seeing Shatter, not yeah, hold on a second.
No, here's what I was hoping you would find.
Well, maybe it was at the I don't think it was. It's probably not the Wolverine Blues Entombed cover by Shatterbrain.
No.
No, this is just an image that, like, I think the vocalization I made will make sense to you once I send it to you.
Okay.
Please do. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to what you found, but also I need you to get on audio your reaction to this, and then I'm going to need you to describe what's happening to the listeners.
Okay. What's happening to them?
It's unrelated. It just happened in a Google image search. This is unrelated to the topic, but like, check this shit out, dude. I can't handle it.
Like, put it in the Slack, not in Skype.
Oh, I did. It's uploading.
Oh, okay.
You need to make sure you have a high res for this image.
Well, oh no.
Yeah. Whoa. So this is a late. I was just Google image searching frames from the Shatter comic to remind myself of it, and then this popped up.
Oh,
I know, right? There's a rich amount of detail. This is a season of Bonfireside Chat. There's a lot going on here.
Okay, so this is it's a piece of album art for I believe it is a band called Blunt Shovel. And the based on the typesetting, the album name is 12 Inch Split. I don't know exactly what kind of music genre this is, but
it came up with the people who Entombed, who did an album called Wolverine Blues.
Okay.
Which is, if we did Adaptation Decay for comics, we would do the Wolverine Blues album at some point. So it's a big heavy metal.
Okay, cool. We've got just kind of a trucker looking guy in an extremely foreshortened pose. He is holding a shovel overhead as though he's about to attack something. He's kind of squatting. It does not appear that he has any pants on because
he's in a birth giving pose.
Yeah. And
facing the camera. Like, yeah. He's just given a birth.
And I can, his testicles are out.
What else is out, Cole?
Well, Gary, sorry, I was building to the climax here. It is called 12 inch split because his gigantic penis, is again, foreshortened, projecting, directly into, the viewer's eyes. But the split is the penis, which it appears to be erect because you can see the spongy tissue and stuff, is split right down the middle. It's a little bit like his penis is a Lovecraftian maw that is splitting open vertically in order to clamp around you and absorb all of your moisture. You can see the urethra extending out. There is there are two drops of fluid extending from both, let's say, hemispheres of the head of the penis. And blood is spurting everywhere, and all this is done in an uncolored, like very 90s style comic inking.
It's like comic art.
Yeah, no. So I mean, this is thank you.
I can't look at it anymore.
Thank you. Yeah,
so I deleted it off the slide.
Yeah,
I literally just couldn't have it on the screen anymore. No, like, by any means.
It's pretty rough. You know, and is it beyond the pale? I don't know. I wouldn't put that on anything that I made, but it was good art. It got the right effects.
I don't like that he's coming when he did it. Like, that really bothers me.
Maybe that's what provided the pressure necessary to get a good clean halfway split.
I never thought about it before, but it would be more difficult to slice in half a limp penis than an erect one.
Yes,
now that you bring it up, like I do think that would be more difficult.
Yeah,
so I guess if I had to split my cock with a blunt shovel,
I
have to work myself into a horny.
I think maybe this is this is not like phasing me as much as it does you. I mean, you've seen shock images of people who actually have had that done to them, right?
Sure. Yeah, people buy anything these days.
People buy, back in my day, there were only a couple of things people would buy for king. You know, my dad would say, you know what? You want money for me for that new album, for that new 12-inch split album? You're going to have to go back and you're going to have to bifurcate some logs into some firewood for me. And I go back and I do the bifurcating. Nowadays, there's no laws about what. These savages are going to bifurcate anything.
iPhone, iPad, bifurcate? I don't even know anymore. What's Apple going to do next?
That was really upsetting. And I would recommend you turn Safe Search on at least for a little bit.
Yeah. I don't need that. I really didn't like that image. It really ambushed me though. It was, you know, I just wanted to see some of this weird comic. Presumably that had something to do with one of these artists. I'm interested to hear what you found because I didn't end up getting whatever
talking about. So Mike Sainz, he didn't just do Shatter. He didn't just do these computer games like Spaceship Warlock or whatever. He also
he's the Virtual Valerie guy.
Yeah, he's the Virtual Valerie guy, and really just started dabbling in interactive smut.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You ever fuck around with Virtual Valerie when you were young?
No, I never did. Can you explain Virtual Valerie to me? I mean, I'm looking at Virtual Valerie too. She's like a leather clad lady on a motorcycle. And the last sentence of the article is the goal is to help Valerie achieve orgasm.
Yes.
And also the genre is virtual pet type.
Yes. It is a virtual pet type game. It is. So me and my buddy Derek.
Okay.
Talked about our early adventures as tiny little like gamer deviants and like, you know, playing Leisure Suit Larry or like downloading nude pictures, you know, at 28K.
Yeah.
Like slowly any of those things that teenage boys do.
Mm-hmm.
Virtual Valerie was one of the things. He got the disc from his dad.
Uh-oh.
And Virtual Valerie is a horny Tamagotchi. You know, like way more horny than normal Tamagotchi, surprisingly. And the so it was like this like a little computer graphic like image kind of program, little fake pet that you would talk to and kind of feed and eventually like give it prompts and it would strip.
Okay.
And then you could like, once it stripped, you could like rub the cursor on the nipples or whatever. And then she would like moan. So it's like this weird, like little digital assistant for like digisex, you know? So it's weird that this didn't go anywhere. Like, I think this is like truly though, like the precursor of, like if you're looking at a porn site now, and then you'll get those little pop-ups that are like, this game will make you come in 20 seconds. And then it's just a gif of Bart getting railed by Bart. And you're like, what the fuck?
What should I do? First real adult sex game.
Yeah.
I assure you that's not the case, sir.
Yeah. I just, like, listen, Ad. You know. But this is like the precursor to that, except it was like software that you would buy.
Yeah.
You know?
Uh-huh. No, so he also did Mac Playmate. let's see here. Is the in-name sequel to Mac Playmate. It's more of a color remake. Let me see here. The goal is to satisfy women using costumes, fingers, and sex toys, as well as both male and female partners. So yeah, this guy, Mike Sainz, he had definitely had a milieu.
Yeah, certainly horny before he made Shatter. when he was not just being like an absolute porn dog, like his whole thing were those like weird digital comics. Like there are a couple of mainstream ones too that he did, like with these things that looked like Dot Matrix, you know, Mac Adventure style art.
It's a cool aesthetic.
It never took off. Like he's the guy who did it was his whole thing. It wasn't a huge hit and that's it.
Yeah.
You know, and that became the guy. And then he moved over to pornography and interactive porn.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't go anywhere because nobody looks at that shit. And then now, you know, now he's, is he alive?
Yeah, no, he's alive. He's working as a consultant now.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Bad tits. That's the Mike Sainz. Like, what if you could rub the headlight of the car and make it orgasm? No?
Like, where would it come out?
The exhaust pipe.
Oh, good, nasty.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's an adult car.
Yeah. Okay. You know,
this is a NC-17 car.
Yeah. You have to be 17 to ride in this car. Yeah.
What a disgusting thing to say, because it doesn't even pass the age of consent. What a weird, specific kind of dirtbag.
The other half of the creative team on this is Joe Sparks, who went on to create. He was kind of one of the head guys behind Total Distortion, that PC game that comes up. People have asked for it, and we just can't get it to run.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
So, yeah, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Total Distortion is supposed to be cool. Like, that also has kind of a cult, a cult following.
Yeah, and people have asked for it, not because it's bad, but just because, like, oh, you know, it is this weird music-based kind of FMV, kind of 3D adventure game. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'd be down for that. But,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Yeah, interesting. So, what else? Not a whole lot on GamesFAQs. There is the thing from the developer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who did the thing, so you can call a 312, you can call Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And get a some tech support, or if you're having,
do you want to call that
problems
number?
With the game? No.
Okay.
I only do email. I never want to use a phone for anything.
Oh yeah, that's true.
I prefer that medium of communication was gone.
Yes.
And then there's two things on the message board. I really like this guy who did Grillox, who the topic is space pirates.
Mm-hmm.
And then the topic is space pirates are certainly a bother to the crawl trade. That's a really weird thing to say.
Yeah.
Just in a vacuum with no follow-up. And I don't know what your expectation of follow-up.
No. Would be from... What's your goal? Before you start, you want to ask yourself, where do I want this to land me?
Yeah.
Here.
Sure does. I don't know what he wants.
Yeah. And then the other one, Zucafa, it does a little role play here, that the topic name is me, I'd like an Irish car bomb, and then yeah. In the actual body of the message, bartender, I'll see if we have it, I'm sorry, we don't.
Well, and that's the bar from the game.
Is it? Okay.
If you go to the bar, you get a little text interface of what drink you want.
Mm.
And that's what it says if you type in nonsense.
Gotcha.
So you can have whiskey. That was the only thing I got to work.
Yeah, I didn't get that interaction. I saw the dancing mantis lady with very articulated nipples just kind of change position. I don't know if this is how the emulator worked for you. It was hilarious. Whenever any of the cars, like the police flying cars or the taxi, came in, the background behind them was just white. So they were
just... Yeah, it looked like somebody was just moving an image in.
Yep.
Like in Akewood making the motorcycle jump.
Yep.
The thing. Yeah. Yeah. It definitely felt like that. It definitely did that to me as well.
Yeah.
So... yeah, boy, should I talk about my blood sack, or should I leave that for the next episode?
Let's leave that. Let's leave that because we've hit the half hour.
Okay, that's a tantalizing cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Some days, you know, we're recording and it's like, hey, it'll just go as long as it takes. And some days it's like, we got the, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Half hour is good today.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Smoke Type Thing.
Yeah.
We appreciate it.
Yeah. If this is a notable game, I am happy to be aware of it. The jury's still out on if it is notable.
Yeah. Yeah, who knows? But I was happy to have done it. We appreciate you for listening. We especially appreciate people who go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv and give us some money.
Yeah,
and
it does make a big difference for us.
Yeah. Ratings and reviews as well.
Yeah.
Until next time, don't get scrambled, night eggs.
Yeah, keep cracking.